Heads up, listeners. Today's episode is super sad.
Yeah, really sad. Really sad. Hi there. I'm Michael B. Allen.
And I'm Will Backey.
And this is episode 15 of the Riot Studios podcast. I don't know if we have a name for this.
I don't think we do yet.
We're doing this a little bit differently today.
It's a little melancholy today.
I don't know if it's the cold weather or the rain.
I'm kind of sick.
Will is sick. We're finishing up a project that it's just always kind of a cathartic feeling when you finish a project.
Yep.
But we're feeling emotional, I think. Is that what this is? Is that what this feeling is? Emotions?
We were in an emo band, so
we're
pretty in touch with
those
emotions.
I mean, everyone knows that, Will.
Right. No, I think, so today's episode's a different kind of episode. We're basically just talking about just the whole creative process and when all the times you want to pull your hair out and quit and the times you feel like no one really cares. And maybe we can talk about the thousands of times that you and I just think about giving up and getting a real job and actually making real money. And I think that artists can relate to that.
Yeah, I don't know. This will probably be minimally edited. We have not planned out this conversation like we do for most podcasts. We just kind of want to vent and try to come to answers to some of these tough questions, if possible, or maybe we won't. But if nothing else, hopefully it's just something other creatives or entrepreneurs can be like, yeah, I get it, you know, and it's nice to know that you're not alone. But before we get started, one kind of funny thing that inspired confidence for us to tackle this subject, we were talking about this and some take on us expressing some of these tough feelings and how to persevere, whether we should be persevering. but we got, I asked really quickly on Twitter before we started this, you know, what's a question you want us to answer on the air? And we got a message from Adrian Patnod, what keeps you from quitting? And I don't know if we know the answer to that yet. Maybe we'll figure it out as we go.
So I'll say what I think maybe keeps us from quitting. I think we've just been doing it so long that we don't really know what life is like quitting. I don't think either of us have ever really had a normal job. I think from the moment we graduated college, we started to put together a tour for our second documentary, Beware of Christians. And after that, we raised some money to start Riot Studios. And after that, we toured it some more and then made Believe Me. And so really, we've never had a normal job, and we've never, I mean, I've thought about quitting all the time, as I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
But I think it's also probably just a fear of the unknown. Like I think about it all the time, having a 9-to-5 job and not doing freelance and maybe having a bigger checking account. But I think part of it's just fear. Another part of it is this, I think it's what we've talked about before of just passion and delusion. You kind of have to have both. You have to love what you do, and you also have to be a little bit crazy to believe that you can do it.
Well, I think the reason these feelings are so palpable in us, particularly now, is, well, for one, we're finishing this book.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said about passion and delusion, we've definitely been driven by passion because it's been freaking hard and a ton of work.
Yeah.
But the older you get, the more of these things, I mean, we've done 3 movies now and they've all been pretty well received, but none of them have been hits and none of them have like set up our careers for the rest of our lives.
Right.
In fact, they've just made the next thing that much more of a challenge. But the older you get, that delusion kind of wears off because you can't delude yourself into thinking this one's going to be the big thing. You know, this movie's going to make us millions, because it's probably not. You know that because you've been through it. And when you're young, you can think, well, I know that's normally how it goes, but not for me. I'm special. I'm talented. I'm going to work hard and beat the odds. And yeah, I'm proud of the work we've done. We have beaten the odds just by making the stuff we've made and keeping it going. But I know that our book is not going to make us millionaires. Yeah. I mean, that's about a fact at this point. And not that the goal is to be millionaires, but the goal is to have the kind of success that makes you more certain that you're not just completely in your own world thinking this is worth doing when it's not.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's honestly, we said when we kind of relaunched Riot Studios that we were taking a break from making Christian movies. And I think that feeling that you just expressed is kind of what I wrestle with every week. And today, this morning, was actually another one of those mornings I was wrestling with it, because I got an email from somebody who said, I saw your movies. They're really great, impactful to what I want to do. I want to make more Christian movies like it. And it just kind of bummed me out, because it reminded me of a time where we kind of had more of a voice in this space of making movies, and it was encouraging people to know Jesus more. But I also know that we hit kind of a brick wall where we just felt like we feel like we're being pressured to make movies for a genre that our voice does not resonate with as well.
Yeah.
And we struggled with I think we've talked about doing an episode of based on just Christian movies alone, but you know, we didn't want to do the whole clickbaity, like if you like Jesus, like this movie sort of thing. And we didn't want to make movies for the people that were going out to see Christian movies, because it just felt divisive. And I don't know, but I miss, going back to what you said, I miss kind of having relevance, you know, in this space, and trying to come up with something else and go a different direction is just hard. And you kind of wonder if you should have gone there in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, I would push back on that a little bit, even in that, like, even the reason we were able to get the response we did is because we hustled so hard for so long and basically went around and forced people to watch our movie and forced people to buy our movie, you know, to get the word out there. And I think we all, you, me and Alex Carroll, all reached the point where we were like, we can't do this forever. We can't get in a minivan and drive around the country and show our movie at colleges and flyer forever, you know?
Yeah.
So that was like a breaking point for us, where we had to jump on to something, you know, believe me, I think we hoped would be like, this is our start of the bigger and better game. And we're going to make this movie. It's going to be a hit, because we love the movie and we believed in it so much. Just thinking, this is going to launch our glamorous film careers.
Yeah.
And just like the things that came before it, it didn't. It opened doors. It was amazingly and unexpectedly successful in its own ways, but not in ways that just make our creative careers a breeze, you know, easy.
Yeah. I remember... So this is just a small story for listeners. So we made Believe Me. We were in New York City for our premiere. We were slated to do a bunch of interviews that day. And the morning that our movie came out, we had like 3 reviews out that were all rotten about Believe Me. And it was literally the first time that all of us looked at each other and were just like, did we just blow it? You know, and it was like the scariest, saddest feeling at the time, mixed with all these other emotions of like, we're in New York City, we're doing a big premiere tonight, Lecrae's in town, all of our actors are in town, we're going to do all these cool interviews. But I just remember like so scared that I had just wasted 2 years of my life on a project that just didn't hit. You know, and the weird thing about movies is it takes that long to get a swing at bat, and to not hit a single, at least, is just terrifying. And, you know, later that night we got to go to Sirius XM, and it was then that we found out that the New York Times had made us New York Times critics pick. That was one of the fewer positively reviewed things. You know, we didn't even get reviewed by that many people. But like even just the number on Rotten Tomatoes was like just always kind of a bummer. We didn't get very many reviews, but it's, you know, It's one of those things where you do something that you're passionate about, you're jazzed on the excitement of accomplishing it, and then you finally stand back to say, like, is this good or not? And not knowing whether something's good or not that you've made is, like, a terrifying feeling.
Mm-hmm. What's even scarier is, I mean, I can now say that I'm proud of Believe Me, and I think it's an important movie that I would have no hesitancy to say, go watch that and be proud of it. But I also think it's probably the worst movie we will ever make. I mean, well, I think all the movies we make from here on will be better.
Yeah.
It's the best movie we've made at this point.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying we've learned so much. It was a great learning experience. We will only get better. But yeah, I'm at a point where I can say Believe Me is something I'm really proud of. Probably not our masterpiece. But what I was, the whole point I started with, there are movies that are really great, that are critically acclaimed, even that have big A-list stars in them, independent films, even some that get into big prestigious festivals, and they lose it millions of dollars, you know? And they don't get Oscar buzz and they don't go anywhere, you know? And that's what's really hard is you're like, even if I achieve what a lot of people's measurements, what they say success is, I still might leave my investors, you know, at a loss.
Yeah.
And I still might not become like a well-known director that has an easy time getting more jobs.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about this before of like knowing, and this is just like wherever you're at, whether you're an entrepreneur or a creative, you know, type, knowing what success is to you. And if success is making a ton of money, well, then great. You have, in dollars and cents, know how successful you are. But when it's not money, when it's art, when it's improvement, when it's creating something original, you know, I think it's easy for us to get attached to the accomplishment of doing it and then deciding whether it's good or not. Mm-hmm. But I think everything up until this point has been good, but not the thing yet for us. We still haven't made our thing yet that we're like, this is the reason we got in the game.
Yeah, and that's...
Which is scary, because then you're just like, is it ever going to come? Like, will we ever make that thing?
Right, and now we're 28.
Yeah.
I'm about to turn 29, and this is like the big thing lately, is when you're a kid, it's always cool. When you're under... like 26, especially if you're single and under 26, 27, it's always cool. It's always cool that you're not giving in and you're chasing your dreams and you're trying to do something different. Even if you suck at it, honestly, your friends might be like, eh, eventually he's going to have to hang that up because he's not very good or that's not going anywhere. But it's still, the idea of it seems cool. And then now I'm married. I've been married for years. You just got engaged.
Yeah.
And we're approaching 30. It's like, this isn't that cool anymore. You know, it's only cool if you've been, I mean, this is the way it feels to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure, and I know for a fact there are other encouraging voices in my life that would say otherwise. But to me, it feels like if I haven't had one of those things, like you're talking about, one of those like hallmark, this is my calling card, and this has been well received and added value to mankind.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have one of those by 30, it feels like, am I the kid in his, am I going to be the kid in his mom's basement when I'm 40 making my videos that no one really cares about or no one thinks is good? And I know we're not to that level. I know we're not that. But I think we're some version of that. We're definitely like driven by some amount of delusion, hoping the next thing's going to be better. The next thing's going to break through.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our whole brand is wrapped around the people that are like us that just feel like they are clawing their way up. And I don't know, you know, it makes me ask those questions of like, well, what age do you give up? Like, when do you hang up the cape and go get a real job and start supporting a family? And I think that I don't know. I don't know what to think about it.
It's tough. And I mean, it's, I want to qualify this too. Like, we're Christians. We believe in God. We believe that God gives us our identity and our meaning and our purpose. Like, I believe that. And I really do. It's not just like a thing to say. But what's tricky within that is now it almost gives life more of high stakes of like, well, now that life does have meaning, I don't want to waste it. You know,
yeah.
I don't want to be like, you know, some drone that just does whatever society tells them to do and just, you know, makes a certain amount of money that society says I need to make. I want to live a meaningful life that adds value to others and that I get to give my unique gifts and passions to other people, you know? So it's like, it's this like catch 22 of like, yeah, sure. Like life has purpose, but now that life has purpose, you can't waste it. Yeah. You know?
Well, I still struggle with that in terms of beware of Christians. Like, yes, we kind of peddled that movie around the country and got people to watch it and got, a crazy little following because of it. And honestly, like we both saw God use this ridiculous film that we threw together, impact people's lives. But since then, you know, I wonder whether making a slasher horror film will ever bring me any kind of joy or satisfaction when I know I could be making something else that, you know, might lead someone to know Jesus. And, you know, I believe God can use whatever movie we make to reach people. But I know that my time here is not infinite. And I know that, what I do impacts people, even if it's just a few people. And I remember being on set of Believe Me, and we had this amazing time with this cast and crew that for the majority were not Christians. They weren't believers. And when we wrapped picture, it was like, man, if no one ever sees this movie, it will be worth it because we still got to tell our actors and crew about Jesus and have conversations about it and reach people that otherwise never would have, maybe never would have other, you know, heard about him. And so I remember saying that. And then I also remember a year later when no one was watching it thinking, well, this wasn't worth it at all. So it's really difficult to kind of live in that framework of like, I know Jesus is using me. I know he's using my successes and my failures. You just want more successes.
Yeah. It's not even about the pride. I mean, it is about the pride, but it's also not. It's like, I want to help people. Like we wrote this book, which, you know, we haven't even thought to promote it. I'm just realizing, I think the book, when this episode airs, the book will be out in 4 days, 5 days.
Yeah.
But our book, The Break-In, which comes out Monday, is, we wanted to help people, you know, I know there are other filmmakers because I've talked to hundreds of them that are our age when we started that were just like, I want to give you all the knowledge that could have helped me, you know?
And yeah.
Then it's like, if no one reads the book or if everyone reads the book and like it's crickets afterwards, it's hard not to question. It's not just about, oh, boo hoo me. Am I not as talented of an artist? It's like, man, I set out to help somebody and then they didn't get anything out of it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a very spiritual thing to feel like I want God to use me, but I don't want him to use me in a small way. I want him to use me in a big way.
Yeah.
But most of us like never feel like God's used it in a big way, but I think we see the impact most in the small ways. Mm-hmm. And it's so selfish of me to desire to be used in bigger ways. And I don't think it's wrong to ask to be used in bigger ways, but more than anything, you should be happy that you know Jesus in the first place and they would want you in the first place.
There's also this logistical, purely logistical part of it where we basically work, you know, a minimum 50 hours a week for Riot Studios.
Yeah.
And it pays us very little, you know?
Nothing at all right now.
Right. Yeah, nothing at all in this season. And, you know, it's like, we can't keep doing this forever. You know, we can't spend all of our time on something that's not actually allowing us to pay the bills and allowing us to go to the next thing, you know?
Yeah. So is that like, leading to some hope, or is that leading to the reality of...
No, I'm just talking about small things versus big things. I don't really care. It's more like I want...
You just
want
to do it.
I want the thing that I spend the bulk of my time on to actually pay for the bulk of my living.
Sure.
Whether, you know, I wouldn't... If our book, if we never became famous, our brand never like went viral or whatever, that wouldn't bother me if we were actually able to do it just consistently and steadily and not have all these constant, you know, questions of like, is this working?
Well, it reminds me of what your professor told you that you then told me of, what's the point of business? You know, the point of business is to make money. You can say that the point of business is to change the world or to make an impact on people, but if you don't make money, you're not going to be able to impact people for very long, and you're not going to be able to do that thing that you love so much forever because, you know, you have to make money, you have to pay your bills.
Well, that's jumping into transitioning into another struggle is we asked ourselves at the beginning of this year, we said, how can we use what we've done so far to bless other people and make money and pave a more sustainable way in the future for Riot Studios. And we haven't, we haven't seen how that's going to pan out because we've only really been back in business 3 months. And I think a lot of these thoughts and these fears and doubts are because we're coming up on a product release and we don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
But we asked that. We asked, how can we make money, you know, in a way that goes with our current brand and our current mission? And, you know, this book and the podcasts and the blogs have been all part of that plan. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, it is for business. Now it's like, well, if this doesn't work, is all that not worth it? You know, I don't know. I don't know how to determine. Yeah. But there's no overwhelming voice that's saying yes.
Yeah. I remember, I don't remember. I have no idea who said this, but I feel like it might have been one of our own pieces of advice of like, if someone's like, I want to get into movies, asking them, can you do anything else? Mm-hmm. Can you do anything else other than get into movies, other than follow your passion? Because you should probably do that. But if you can't do anything else, like if you can't imagine yourself doing anything else, then you got to go for it. Because you will always look back and regret that you didn't. And I think that that's probably one of the points of all of this to me is that like, I just can't imagine doing anything else other than making movies.
It's inevitable that you're going to make movies.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to live in a world where Michael Allen isn't making movies. That sounds horrible.
Well, I totally agree. And I think that's what is, there are a couple things on that. One, I mean, this is the, if you try to explain why we are the way we are. I mean, I think back to, making One Nation Under God was just an amazing experience. For so many reasons. One, it's the first time I'd ever like, really done camera work or studied camera work. And that was a fun art to me, getting to travel the country, getting to spend all that time with you guys. It changed my life. And then we premiered that little documentary that we never had any aspirations of it becoming famous or being a big hit, but we had a premiere in Dallas and it was a huge hit. Like we sold out this massive theater, standing ovation, nice words after. And, you know, in that moment, we're 20, 21 years old. And I'm thinking, well, this is it. This is definitely what I want to do the rest of my life is have a blast making stuff with my friends and then show it to even more of my friends and have them fulfilled by it. And so, you know, have them entertained and laughing and, you know, you know, reflecting on their lives because of it. Like, that was the best. And we've gotten to experience that in small doses ever since then. But that feeling alone is hard to ever imagine going into a line of work or doing something day to day where there's no chance you will ever experience something like that.
Yeah.
So that feeling is an addictive part. And then there's also just the unexplainable. I'm sure neurologists could explain it somehow, but it's just like a spiritual or, you know, emotional part of who we are that I have to make stuff. I have to make movies and music and write things, and I will never not be able to do that, you know?
Yeah.
So it'd be ideal if I could experience both those things, the feeling of accomplishment of making a cool creative project and sharing with people, and just that innate passion to create things and do it in a way that makes me a steady living. I don't have to be rich, don't have to be famous, but I can do it with the bulk of my time, and it allows me to keep living. That's all I want, but it's always just seemed just out of reach, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's perspective too. Like, we know plenty of people that don't even like movies.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Know?
Totally.
It's like at the end of the day, like, and we've talked about this a lot of times before, like, we know that what we do is not the end all be all. And thank God for God. I mean,
yeah.
I have to remind myself that, and even our idiot friend Chris McNally told us that as soon as we wrapped our short film, The Get Together. He was like, dude, the best part is that no one cares. And that is a very sad truth. That's also very freeing in the sense that it's just a movie, just a short film, you know, the things that we labor on and like care so much about. And it doesn't matter what you do, whether it's artistic or whether you run your own small business, like, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Which is my short plug for checking out Jesus. But I think having purpose and like knowing what it's all about is important. And we both believe that we have these gifts for a reason. And so I think that also plays into the reason why we don't quit and that why we don't give up is because we have seen in a very tangible way over the last 10 years, our gifts that God's given us affect people. And I don't really care at what capacity. When I'm like sober-minded about it, I really don't care what capacity that is, whether it's one person or a million people. It's like, it's God's anyway, so give it back to him. But a lot of God talk on this one, man.
Yeah, we're getting religious.
We're getting a little too, we're probably freaking some people out.
No, that is a good word, and, you know, we don't have to universalize everything, but even if you didn't believe in God, surely you have some way to give your life meaning. I don't know. I have a hard time understanding how atheists give their life meaning, but you have to maintain that bigger perspective and stay grounded. And this is what it's really about.
Sure.
And not have it all dependent on factors you can't control. I think another thing, there are just some simple things to be thankful about that you talk about when you're sober minded. These are just like sermons I try to preach to myself, even when I have a hard time fully accepting it. It's like, one, I mean, if you're a filmmaker or even a musician, be glad that you are one of the arts people actually care about. You know, think about being a dance choreographer or even like a painter.
Theater, you know? I mean.
Yeah, there are so many obscure forms of art that people are just as passionate about, but there is not any natural stage. There are way fewer success stories than like even indie filmmakers. Even though we're in a small minority, the ones of us that break out and find sustainable careers, there are way more of us than in most artistic professions. So we can be thankful for that. You know, I was reflecting on, you know, one thing I tell people that are publishing videos on like YouTube and they're bummed out, like, oh, I only got 300 views or whatever. It's like, dude, 300 people is a lot of people. You know, I mean, we get 300-ish listeners on each of these podcasts. And I would like that number to be higher. Tell your friends, risestudios.com/podcast.
Check it out.
I definitely want that number to be higher, but 300 people, like imagine 300 people in a room. And that's a lot of people. That's a full packed out big movie theater, you know? Yep. And that many people come to listen to us do this show every week. So that's like, you know, given we're not making money off that.
RiseStudios.com/book.
Yeah. But that's still really cool. And it's something, you know, we live in a world that only kind of notices things when they go viral and get millions of views, you know, but that's, there's no way you should aspire or expect that. It's so rare, well, and unpredictable.
Here's one thing that I've thought a lot about is, like, I hate knowing anyone listens to this and not know who that person is. Because, like, I think when you're in the arts, like, you are kind of forming your own little tribe of people that like the thing that you're making or can resonate with it or get behind it. And, you know, Michael and I don't do this for the millions of people to listen. We do it for you, whoever you are listening to it at your desk or in your car. And it's important to us. And we appreciate you and wouldn't keep doing this if you weren't there. So we just, you know, maybe I'm just taking a second to say thank you.
I think you did. I think that's what you've done just now. No, that is true. And also, I mean, this is benefiting us to say this right now, but it's a general thing to keep in mind is thank your artists. Thank the people that you follow, especially if you've done it silently. Like for us, I'm going to ask you, if you've read any of our blogs or listened to any of our episodes and they've affected you in any positive way, let us know. And I mean, it's a little pride boost for us that helps keep us encouraged and keep us going. And a lot of you have let us know and been super gracious, and we appreciate that. We're not discounting people that have already done that. But let us know, and let all the artists, like, especially if you listen to musicians that are not top 40 Billboard artists, they're probably not killing it as much as you might think. If you enjoyed a film, like, reach out on Twitter. People, I mean, we notice.
We see that stuff.
We know your names, you know, if you do it on a regular basis, and we really genuinely appreciate it, and it makes a big difference to us. And if you're an artist, I mean, value those people. What, this is another little side story, but about a month or two ago, I was thinking about, man, I really appreciate when people reach out and say thank you. So I want to say thank you to all the artists that I've been following that have created cool stuff. And I started doing that, and I was really surprised that they didn't say thanks for saying hi, or they didn't respond to me, like the vast majority of them. And they're not famous people. It's not like, you know, I'm a little speck on their radar. And that really surprised me. It's kind of like, all right, well, now
you didn't, most of them didn't say,
did not, back? Did not. And I was like, well, you've demotivated me from being as passionate of a fan. I still appreciate what you do, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't, I wish I said thank you to every person that's ever messaged me. And that I'm just lazy sometimes, and I just...
Oh, yeah, you know. It's not to condemn people that don't thank artists or artists that don't say,
yeah,
you're welcome, but yeah. It makes a difference when it does happen. That's,
yeah,
all I'm saying.
So, to start to put a bow on this whole thing, in regards to giving up...
Maybe?
Maybe? Again, I still believe that, I got to find who said that quote. You know what I'm talking about?
What?
Sometimes the greatest sermon in the world is just two words, me too.
We have the technology.
We have Google. Let's look that up. But I think that's just true. I mean, it's just true to me. Like, I know that when I've spoken with artists, whether they're in bands or, you know, doing art or theater, you know, we met with our buddy Carl in New York City a couple weeks back and just talked about the struggle of being an artist. Like, it does help sometimes just to know that there are other people that are in it too, that are just grinding. And that gives me motivation to keep going too. I don't know. Final thoughts. What do you think, Mike? I might have some more. I don't know.
We had an episode prepared, just so everyone knows, and we chose to fly by the seat of our pants just because it just seemed real. So we're not getting lazy, guys. This is just us raw and unfiltered. I want to say
keep at it. I mean, I need it, you know, as a creative. Like, I need to see more creative stuff. Sure, and in whatever medium it is, short films, you know, feature films, like, God bless the indie film. Like, I see them all the time. I want to see more.
Here's what I would say. If you are doing something because you're trying to attain some level of acceptance from others, if you're trying to find your value in doing that thing and you just feel insecure about quitting, even though you wish you could quit secretly, quit. You don't need, like, whatever value you're looking for, it's not going to happen when you achieve whatever you're looking to achieve. That's not going to solve your problems. And by you continuing to do this, you're really just pretending to be someone you're not, which is only making the problem worse.
Yeah.
So that's you. Stop. Try to find joy in other work and do that and do a great job at it. And be a good friend, be a good son, daughter, you know, brother, sister, husband, wife, whatever.
Yeah.
If you're like who I think both of us are, in that you're not really doing it seeking anything other than you feel like you have to do it, it's just part of who you are. It's part of your passion and talent that's God-given, and you couldn't get rid of it if you tried. Keep going. But manage your expectations and don't get caught up believing that this stuff is going to get any easier, because it might not, which is the sad thing. And it's not a happy thing to talk about, but it is true. But then pair that sourness with the sweetness that it's a huge blessing that we even get to do it at all. It's a huge blessing that we have technology that allows us to make more art, you know, and not need crazy high budgets to do it, that we have communication tools that allow us to get our art out to thousands or millions of people, you know, without much expense or effort. Be thankful for those things. And if you got to adapt, if you got to feed your family by doing something you're less passionate about, that doesn't make, I'm saying this to myself right now, that doesn't make life less meaningful. It doesn't make you less meaningful. It's just what you got to do. And it's what non-artists see as the default, you know?
Yeah.
So the fact that we even have an alternative to that to consider is a blessing. And you know, don't be a crybaby like we've been too. Like we've been pouting and, oh, what if our book doesn't sell thousands of copies or whatever? Don't be a crybaby. Realize that you can do what you got to do. If you got to make your art on the weekends or nights, if you got to wake up earlier, if you got to rearrange your social life or whatever, do what you got to do. And don't whine about it. Be thankful that you can make those choices to do it. And take what you get.
Yeah. I think that's the last thing I'd say is just check your identity. And I hope that your identity is not in a label like artist or filmmaker or dancer or anything like that. It's not everything, you know? I think filmmaking's felt like everything to me at some point or another.
Yeah.
And it's not. So anyway, guys, that's the celebratory episode of Riot Studios this week. And we hope you feel just encouraged to go out and give it your all. You know, we made this episode because I feel like we just kind of wanted to show that we're human too, and that we do not see rainbows every day. We do not live in a constant state of denial that everything we do will work, because we know that it won't, and it hasn't all the time.
It was also good timing to do this episode the week before the book comes out. So, because, you know, I mean, after our last product release, believe me, was not killer. We don't expect this one to be killer. You can't really come back after the fact, at least immediately after the fact, and just be like, we didn't sell any copies. Apparently our book sucks, so you shouldn't buy a copy either. I mean, we we have high hopes, and we hope it'll be. Hopefully, we come back and report this book is really successful. But now you know, these are the jitters that we felt before knowing how it's going to go.
Yeah.
So we'll report back either way. But this kind of made it easier to express our honest feelings, you know, on the cusp of putting a lot of work into something and not knowing how it's going to end up.
If you're looking for a way to support us, just buy us a sandwich every now and then when you see us on the streets.
You'll definitely see us on the streets.
The way that you can actually help us is our book comes out Monday. Buy it for a friend. Buy it for somebody else that's trying to get into filmmaking. This book really does have like all the tips, tricks, and secrets that we wish we knew when we were starting out. And if you don't plan on buying it, we just want Amazon reviews too at some point. We would love some reviews, and that's like an easy, free way you can do it. So leave us a review on Amazon.
That'll be starting Monday.
Starting Monday.
The book will be out, so you can do that.
Yeah.
Will?
Yeah.
Where can people go online to find out more about RiotStudios.com?
I'm so glad you asked. They can go to RiotStudios.com/anything-your-heart-desires, RiotStudios.com/podcast for our podcast, /book to get more information on our book, or just go to RiotStudios.com. You can give us your email and stay up to date on all things Riot, and we'll let you know about our next projects coming out, let you know if you want to come audition for a project sometime, or just get involved with us in general. We answer those things. We want to hear from you. But Mike, let's get to really what's going to be the cherry on top of a miserable Sunday. Where would we be without our sponsors?
At a Mexican restaurant, when they keep bringing you chips and salsa, delicious. But then you run out of water and they never refill your water.
This week's episode is brought to you by Prozac.
This is not a cry for help. But maybe. But it's not. It's fine. Everything's fine.
We love y'all. Have a good episode. Have a good week. God. Land the plane. It's a water landing for sure. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.